Meanwhile, I definitely have the porn all loaded up.
Nice work.
So this is gonna be interesting. As you can certainly tell, listener, it's Data Transfer Season 2, Episode 11, and I'm Audrey.
I'm Corla.
And that's I'm Very Tall Bart.
Very Tall Bart is here.
Yay!
It's cool.
I'm so fucking excited. I love your shit.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I did a Radio Free Tote Bag last week, and it was really it was really fun. Yeah, I'm
hell yeah,
I'm warming up to you guys. Yeah.
Aww.
Hey. All right.
Yeah.
I did that. How's everybody been? How's this week going? How is everybody handling current events?
I am hiding in my video games.
I am ignoring Twitter. I just left it, like I said. And so, like, I just am tuned out. That's how I'm getting through it, is tuning out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but the other day, like, my car got broken into, so politics is kind of intruding on my life a little bit, you know? I'm like, I want more cops now.
Very safe. Cut this joke.
My boyfriend's telling me to stop this riff.
I'm glad you have a conscience in the background.
Yeah.
Important.
No, but it's fine. I mean, it sucks, but you know, getting your car broken into is not the end of the world, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's a huge bummer, though, still. I feel for you.
Yeah, but there's no valuables in it or anything. We drive a real piece of shit, so...
You don't keep, an original Zelda-style 3DS in there?
No, I'm not. I'm not driving around with, a waffle maker or anything.
You know, the really valuable shit.
Yeah.
Just printer ink all up in the cover, in the driver's side.
Yeah.
There's a word for that. I am too stoned to remember.
Same.
Compartment. That's it. We got there.
Nice.
Flat.
We have been fucking around playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 again, which has been very nice.
Oh, that's
nice. Even naked.
Baldur's Gate.
Yeah,
we run around nude. That's like a thing we do.
Here's the thing. No other massive modern, computer RPG lets you just run around dong out.
Didn't fucking Rust used to do that in or I think Rust did, but they don't show the dong, I don't think.
That's no good.
Yeah, that's
right. You gotta show the dong. You gotta have full frontal.
Mm-hmm.
And Rust is a bit more, it's a bit less magical.
Yeah.
Like, I can run out with my dick out and angel wings popping out of my back that help me fly. Mm-hmm. It rules.
That's cool.
That's my power fantasy, is being nude and magical.
Yeah, no, I fucking feel you on that.
Oh, well, I just remembered, I've been working on a collaboration with CS188, if you guys are familiar, that I wanted to hype up. Yeah. I'm not going to say what we're pooping, but I finished my part. Now he's just got to hold up his end. And
fuck yes.
Yeah. If you haven't, people should check out CS188. He's better than me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna second that one.
Yeah,
Audrey can tell you I'm a little bit obsessed with YouTube poops.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's deep in the shit.
Awesome.
I'm a big fan of I Teach Vader and Da Things.
Da Things is my hero, my number one. She is so funny.
Ellie's so fucking cool.
And she's so cool. Yeah. She just did this what'd she do? A sentence mixed I don't remember the video game, but she sentence mixed all of the dialogue in it, and you can now download it and play the game with her sentence mixed dialogue.
Whoa.
Yes, the Wand of Gamelon styled game.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, what was that? Farset.
Fartset, yes. She's amazing. Yeah, I love everything she does. But CS188 is also my childhood hero, so it's kind of surreal working with him.
Oh yeah,
that's gotta be so cool.
It's crazy.
It's
it's
like when Corla got to do a couple podcasts with Katie Rose Leon.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess it's closer to because I've been a fan of Katie since I was an adult is the main thing about that.
Sure.
No, yeah.
So it'd be more like if I got to team up with Ego Raptor.
Oh my god, that'd be crazy.
Let's get Ego Raptor. Go on Data Transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if I have any like adjacent contacts.
I'm sure, you know, I'm probably a few degrees separated from Ego Raptor. We can figure something out.
Hey, you know, we're all feud.
We're in talks. Let's upgrade this. We're in talks with Ego Raptor to come on Data Transfer.
Okay. It's confirmed, everybody.
It's happening.
Data Transfer will be in Trolls 2.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, those. Are we segueing now?
I'm trying.
Okay,
I'm
doing I'll let you.
Hey, Audrey.
Yeah.
Digimon.
Yeah, it's usually how I do it is, hey, we'll be talking about, we'll be deep in the weeds, we'll be making actionable threats against politicians, and then I'll go, so you want to talk about Digimon, or?
Yeah, sorry. I know I'm like a political guy, apparently, but like, I just hate talking about politics, you know what I mean?
It's the fucking understandable. Worst. That's why I so quickly go to violence when it comes up.
Well, that's the same thing with me, and I kind of want to keep things light, you know, because my politics can be quite aggressive. Yeah.
Fucking same.
Yeah.
But, so you were telling me you have, like, no history with this show, Digimon, that this is your first episode that you've ever seen.
Yeah, this is the first thing I've ever seen. And I also, like, a lot of kids would say that, like, when they were a kid, like, they watched Pokemon instead. Didn't even watch that. Didn't watch any Japanese media at all as a child.
Wild.
Yeah.
Really?
Never developed, like, that weird hatred of it that some people do. Like, but, like... The only thing I ever watched was one episode of the first season of Pokemon that was rerunning on a TV. My parents took me to a motocross event, and we got to see all the motocross heroes.
Travis Pastrana and shit.
I don't remember their names at all, but yeah. Bubba something was my favorite. but it was so fucking loud, and I was so small, and I just wanted to go back to the hotel room, and they had Pokemon playing. And it's a very vivid memory, but that's my entire exposure to Japanese media.
That was similar to mine for the longest. I had only ever seen one episode of Yu Yu Hakusho in a hotel room. It's like really weird.
But I did end up watching, because I was an edgy fucking preteen, I loved Death Note and I loved Soul Eater. Those were my favorite.
Oh my god, Soul Eater was the best.
Soul Eater was, oh my god, and I forget the name of the character that was merged with their weapon and they had it coming out of their back or something.
Krona.
Krona was my, oh my god, I would die for Krona, yeah.
Yeah, also the first non-binary rep I ever saw.
Yeah, same, which was really interesting and just kind of, yeah, just unstated.
Yeah, along with, Ranma one half was my first like gender fluid exposure.
Oh yeah.
So I guess I can't imagine how someone figures out they're gay if they don't watch anime.
But
that's just because that's my very personal journey.
Yeah. I there might be some truth to that. Yeah, for sure.
I remember seeing and hearing about Ranma one half. And being fascinated by it, but also very afraid of it. There were no signs.
Mm. Sorry, I know you guys talk about like sexual awakenings through anime and stuff like that, but even the ones I watch, I never felt like deeply attracted to any of the characters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I did have an inkling that I was really gay because I didn't love the bouncing boobies in Soul Eater very much, you know?
Yeah.
That didn't capture my attention. But there was nothing, they didn't supplant that with anything, you know? Like, there was no male eye candy or anything.
There was no anime bulge.
Except for Dark Star. I remember Dark Star. Dark Star was kind of cool.
Yeah. Dark Star, he's grown on me more as I've grown up. As a kid, I was like, he reminds me too much of myself, unmedicated with ADHD.
Yeah, and he also had like deep, like, I don't know. He had his voice actor was very high pitched, and I don't know. His voice was so interesting.
I think it was the same voice actress as Naruto.
Oh, that would make sense. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a Naruto ripoff a little bit.
A little bit.
Anyway,
my favorite bit of the show is when fucking Death the Kid slams his head into the pavement.
Yeah. Death the Kid with the guns.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. You
I feel like we're on a little bit of a delay here, but we're going to get into the synopsis of this episode. We're going to talk about the Storm of Friendship, or in the Japanese, Blue Lightning, Lydramon.
Which is Raydramon in the English, and that's probably what I'm going to say because that's what I grew up with.
For sure. Ken continues to set up and patrol the digital world with his army of Digimon. Meanwhile, while riding on a railway track, Cody gets an email from Izzy notifying the group that Ken has been spotted with the kidnapped Metal Greymon.
Mm-hmm.
Matt asks Tentomon to go find Garurumon in preparation for the fight against the Digimon Emperor, and I pogged.
I also pogged. I was like, I love that they have covert agents in the team, right?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, get the wolf who can outspeed anything and the flying bug man out there for sneak missions.
Yeah, they were very tactical, you know? I like, they used their... Sorry, I don't have anything else to add.
There was a moment in season one where Birdramon is this big bird Digimon that can carry like a rookie, right? Like very easily carry a couple rookies. They had Agumon and Gabumon hang onto Birdramon's legs, and they flew over an enemy and dropped them on her, like dropped the two little guys onto him, who digivolved into their bigger forms.
It's so much,
like a fucking payload.
Like, there's so much more you can do when you take away the turn-based combat system. You know, it. You know, like the fact that they talk, you know, adds a layer to me.
My parents hated this way less than they hated Pokemon, because Pokemon, they just go, Pikachu! And it's like, fucking, I can see how that would be mega fucking irritating to an adult watching it with no investment in the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, they're like, oh, the little guy can talk. That's something.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating show, honestly. I really enjoyed it, like, deeply.
Fuck yeah. I'm really glad.
Yeah, because they obviously... they weren't trying to just make a consumer product, it felt like, almost strangely enough. Maybe they were, and maybe that's the fascination with the show, possibly, but I expected more trash, if I can be honest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There are seasons of the Transformers where it is just about selling toys, and there are Transformers shows that are like genuinely good media, and this feels like the latter sort of thing.
Yeah, like they're both
selling toys, but
yeah, but there's passion that you can feel, and like they, I don't know, like the plot. I guess we should continue with the plot.
Yeah,
Daisuke is shocked to
it'll be apparent.
Yeah, Daisuke is shocked to hear that they have to fight Metal Greymon, and a little doubtful that they'll be able to defeat him. This sparks an argument between him and TK, who remains hopeful. Daisuke lunges at TK, and when Kari and Yole try to break them up, it reminds Ty and Matt of the reasons they are such good friends and how much they fought when they were younger, which is totally, fully accurate to the show. Basically, so Matt had the crest of friendship, Ty had the crest of courage, and...
they were both kind of co-leaders of the group.
Okay.
Yes.
So they have, like,
run into conflict all the time.
That's what I mean. That's so interesting about the show, is that they allow the main cast to have, like, conflict with each other, which is, like, it sounds stupid, but, like, you know, you wouldn't see Ash fighting with Brock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And it adds, like, a brotherly kind of Chuck and Jimmy McGill thing to it, where you see both sides of their argument and stuff like that, and it's like, what, this is supposed to be Digimon? I don't know.
I thought this was digital monsters.
Yeah, but the digital monster was us all along. The evil that lies in the hearts of all men,
of all creatures.
Yeah.
After a while of traveling, Cody's D3, that's his Digivice, the little thing that you remarked on that was very cool.
Very cool. Would have loved that.
Very marketable little Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It starts beeping, and they notice the crest of friendship carved into a cliff face nearby.
I love that. Some fucking Dark Souls iconography there in the wall.
I thought it looked like I thought it looked like a dancing Boo from Mario, kind of like or like a yin yang,
like when Meatwad dances in the
Exactly, yeah. I have that on my stream. That little guy, he runs across the bottom of the screen sometimes.
Fuck yeah,
little Meatwad.
They soon find a digit egg with the same symbol on it. Matt is the first to try to lift it, but he has no luck.
Mm-hmm.
He's followed by Cody, Ty, TK, Kari, and Yole, but no one is able to lift it. And finally, after being somewhat forced, Daisuke tries, though clearly not as hard as the others, and it yields the same result.
Yeah, he just kind of, oh, it didn't work.
See, I told you.
But they built it up so much, where, like, I was like, they could sting this in so many different ways. Like, either he picks it up easily, you know? It's a very tense moment, honestly.
Yeah.
Where it's like, anything is interesting. I don't know. They could have subverted your expectations, you know what I mean, with like a joke or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was very I was zoned, I was locked in at this moment, and it and then what comes next, you know?
Yeah, when it finally comes to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when a bunch of in like fucking bugs and an evil dragon gets airdropped on them.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Suddenly, a terrible screeching noise fills the air, and it turns out to be from the bug Digimon Flymon, who immediately attacks the group, injuring Patamon. It's like he sniped him. He, like, fully was, like, gunning for Patamon. You could kind of tell.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, he rakes fucking, like, bee stingers like a machine gun fire across the group, and Patamon's the only one who can't get out of the way.
Yeah.
Vimon quickly armored Digivolves to Flamedramon and counters back. Hawkmon follows suit, but neither can finish him off because of the ear-piercing noise.
Yeah. Yeah, this was also another, like, the demonstration of the powers is so much more visceral, you know? Where, like, ah, you know, they're screaming with their hands over their ears. It's not cute, you know? And I like that.
Yeah. And not every attack has a name, either. Sometimes it's just, I have wings that can make a horrible noise, and I'm going to use that on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Thunder Shock.
Mm-hmm.
And though sometimes it is Thundershock.
Right. Yeah, we have Pepper Breath, but that's because the main guys have to have a marketable move. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You have to have a thing that you can yell on the playground.
How dare you?
I did it too. I did it too.
Okay.
While everyone is busy covering their ears, the wounded Patamon is kidnapped. Flymon just snatches Patamon up, and I was like, why did you take the potat? Don't take the potat.
Don't
I love him
potato.
So much.
No.
We're both so sad about it.
The cutest.
Patamon's really grown on me.
Yeah, probably the cutest one that I saw, honestly. Other than the little raptor guy. I have a soft spot for the main little raptor guy. I don't know his name.
His name is Vimon.
Oh, Agumon.
Oh, Vimon, excuse me.
Oh, Vimon.
Do you mean the
yellow Vimon's the blue one. Did you mean yellow or blue?
Yellow.
That's Agumon.
Agumon rules. I really they made a good choice having Agumon be like front and center.
Yeah.
He's so chunky. It's like it very very much is distinct from any Pokemon design, which are all pretty rounded, I want to say. Like most of the edges kind of
You can see the
kind of sanded off.
You can see that this character has like a skeleton, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you can see the shape of his dino skull.
But not the case for the little potato. Little potato guy is cute, you know.
He's soft and round. He's just like a baby pig that's eaten a lot.
As everyone chases after Flymon, Ken appears on Metal Greymon, as so often villains just appear in this show. And he attempts to put a dark spiral on the kidnapped Patamon. Yeah. But just as he is about to succeed and place another of the Digidestined's Digimon under his control, Garurumon appears and saves Patamon, returning him to TK while knocking the dark spiral out of Ken's hand and freeing Flymon as well.
He does three things with one lunge. Garurumon's the fucking goat this episode.
Yeah, Garurumon kicked a whole lot of ass this time.
I have no familiarity with Garurumon, but I would love to ride him, you know?
He is He is explicitly for riding.
Oh, good. I didn't...
His ultimate, very much not so. His ultimate is like a bipedal sexy werewolf.
That seemed to be like a trend that I saw in the opening title sequence, was that like the ultimate evolutions seem to all be bipedal, which I have a critique about. You know, I think that they're, is that true?
Yeah.
Like there's,
no, yeah.
There's,
you know what? Yeah, because Ikakumon.
Think about it. Zudomon becomes bipedal.
There's a lot of
Bergermon becomes Garudamon. That's bipedal, yeah.
And then the only other option you have, it seemed, was quadrupeds, like wolf-like or tiger-like, you know? And it's like, yeah. I understand. Those are the scariest, you know? But like having a big snake, you know? If I was in the writer's room, I would have pitched, you know, a bird, you know, perhaps just a regular old bird. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
in season 3, we get this in spades. A lot of the ultimate evolutions are just fucking horrifying monsters. even for the main cast. Just so, like, shit gets wild. We have, like...
Like Eldritch Horrors, like Cthulhu's.
Yeah. Like a biomechanical genie dragon.
Fuck yeah. I don't remember that from season 3. I caught kind of pieces of it. When I was a kid, I would like to get into that.
Yeah, I'm excited to share it with. Oh, there's also one that's just a weapons platform.
Oh my god!
Hell yeah!
Just a battleship.
Yeah, basically.
Daisuke seems to be surprised by TK's willingness to help his partner, and when Flamedramon asks Daisuke if he would do the same, he is unsure, which angers Flamedramon.
Yeah,
that sounds. Like was that English dub? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
I guess so. The main thing he's struggling with here is like listening to the group when they tell him, it's okay, you have to hit this guy for the greater good right now and for the sake of the group. And he's like, I don't want that moral mark on me. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that beat the shit out of my friend.
Yeah. I mean, it's relatable, and the stakes are so high. You know what I mean? Where they're debating whether or not they're going to essentially attempt to kill their friend, you know?
Yeah.
And
TK is repeatedly like, we don't have to kill him. We just have to get the spiral. And they're like, fucking how?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The man has nukes in his tits.
he's a big fucking Tyrannosaurus, you know, with metal plated armor.
Tyrannosaurus. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's I don't know. I found that conflict in the character to be fascinating, but the way they wrap it up, you know, where it's just like he just admits that he's a coward, essentially.
He screams, "I'm so pathetic," and the universe responds.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Like brings the egg to him.
Yeah. I thought that it was sorry, I just spaced out for a second.
Good.
Yeah.
Armadillomon and Gatomon armor-digivolve into Digmon and Nefertimon to help Garurumon try and destroy the Dark Spiral on Metal Greymon. That is a whole lot of Digimon in one sentence.
Yeah, Pegasus and Sphinx.
Yeah, this character was beautiful, I have to say. It was the only word that comes to mind.
There's a regality to Nefertimon.
Mm-hmm. An angel-like sphinx with tits and, you know...
And like a stone mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's intentional, because their normal Digivolutions are literally angels.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the army Digivolution is like a way to get around the fact that the bad guy can stop normal Digivolution. So it's kind of like a halfway point up to champion, which is why they're like not quite angels. They're sort of animalistic, angelic representations in these forms.
See,
I just think that's neat.
It is.
The subcategories of the Digi evolutions is something that I'm fascinated by. I googled before we started the four levels. And the first result I got was the 9 Digievolution stages.
Yep. Yep.
And that doesn't even burst mode. Burst mode. Yeah.
Fall down mode.
And it seems like this is it's a little overkill, I gotta be honest. Because I understand why you would want to go over Ultimate to like, you know, like Super Saiyan 2, Super Saiyan 3. But I don't understand why you would want like fresh in training, you know? Armor.
Oh sure, yeah. Those are around at this point.
Okay.
because there's fresh, which is just like a little baby, like you hatch out of an egg and straight you're like a bottom on. You're just like a little ball.
You're just ears. A little fuzzy ball or then a tiny little ghost.
Just a tadpole. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got in training, which is like a head the with formed tassels or like a head with a horn.
The and they just kind of saw at the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. With the who are those? I know they evolved into Gazimon, but
oh, Punimon.
Punimon.
It just seems like overkill to me, you know, because you're always just gonna want the. As a kid, you're gonna want either nobody likes the second evolution of Pokemon, is what I'm saying, and so why would you have more second evolutions?
How dare you? Metang is my friend.
Oh, this is I've waded into deep waters here.
I actually like Grovyle more than Sceptile. No, we're
not. Charmeleon's pretty cool too.
Charmeleon does rule, actually, as does Wartortle. I love his fluffy tail.
I do like Wartortle. I like how angry Wartortle is. Yeah.
Ivysaur's a bit less great.
Yeah, definitely just uninspired.
He's literally just half. he's just halfway
he's
there.
Bulbasaur with a scowl.
Yeah.
He's like an edgy teen Bulbasaur. So
yeah, that's kind of it, isn't it? No one likes their teen phase.
No, yeah.
No.
And so they added...
Yeah, who looks at a picture of themselves as a teenager and goes, that, I was killing it.
The people who do that are very sad.
Do.
Oh yeah, they suck ass. Sorry. They do that.
Sorry.
You could say they poop that.
They do poop that. So they digivolve into Digimon and Nefertimon and try to help Garurumon destroy the Dark Spiral on Metal Greymon, though Daisuke is still too scared to fight in fear of hurting Tai's partner. So then Flamedramon reverts to Vmon, claiming that Daisuke doesn't understand the true meaning of friendship.
Which deep cut, yeah. You know, very deep cut. You know, if I heard that, I would.
He got as far as don't be a bad person to your friends and like is unwilling to look at this edge case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Please. So Vmon is put in danger and Daisuke does nothing to help. The others scold him about his lack of trust in his friends. And then he has an epiphany and the Digi-Egg of Friendship appears in front of him. They do not mention that the epiphany is him going, I'm so pathetic.
I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
Admittedly, Audrey and I have been saying this about him the whole time.
Yeah, you're such a bitch.
Wow, this guy's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But then his character flips on a dime after getting that revelation, you know? Which is interesting.
Admittedly, like a do or die moment.
Sure, but like it was interesting to me how it was like his indecision was the problem. The fact that he was
right.
It was very Eastern meditative to me, the revelation where it's like the problem is he realizes he's the problem, essentially.
Yeah, right.
And in doing so he no longer becomes the problem.
The world it's a sense of the world needs to flow and the only thing stopping it, the only thing like in the way of that flow is me and I have to let that go.
Essentially. Yeah.
That's a really interesting take.
It's like the interpersonal equivalent of to achieve knowledge, you must know that you know nothing to begin with. Like you must start at zero.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I say it's like meditative. It's like I can see you just don't see that in Western media, those like moments. But you can get it in Japanese media.
Yay. It's dope. So the Digi-Egg of Friendship appears in front of him, and Vmon uses his new Digi-Egg to digivolve into, it says Raidramon here, we have Lydramon in the Japanese version. Everyone is surprised, including Ken, who has Metal Greymon attack. He's like, oh shit, new Digivolution, beat its ass!
Mm-hmm.
like, that is unaccounted for in my strategy, I'm gonna need that thing to die.
Yeah. Raidramon, or Lymon, rather, counters with blue lightning at the Dark Spiral, but it doesn't break. With some encouragement from the group, Daisuke rides on Raidramon, Lymon, and the two continue on the offensive.
It's a power of friendship.
Oh, Audrey, you haven't described Raidramon.
Oh, yeah.
Electric Hound.
Hey, there you go.
I did it. Because in season one, I had to describe each Digimon with one word in season one, and now we're in season two. I have to describe each new Digimon with two words.
I can't wait till we get to Cross Wars and you have to do a whole sentence. On each other. You finally have the space.
You have to write a dissertation on. Oh, if I knew any Digimon, I could have. The poop one.
Oh,
the golden the poop.
Numamon.
Yeah.
Numamon. If there's a 10th season, and I'm not sure there is, but I think there is. There's got to be at least 10.
It's in production if it doesn't exist already, because the Digimon is an ongoing concern. Interestingly.
But either way, once we get to 10, you have to do it in iambic pentameter.
Garurumon uses his Howling Blaster, distracting Metal Greymon long enough for Lydramon to use his Thunder Blast, which is powerful enough to shatter the Dark Spiral on Metal Greymon's arm.
That's the power of friendship moment right there.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta hit that hard, and they do. You know?
Trusting your friend to back you up and give you the space you need to complete the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Tai is thrilled to be reunited with his now normal Digimon. Now normal Agumon, it says.
Yeah, non-enslaved Agumon.
Normal.
Yeah, he's now normal.
He was a freak. And,
Ken flies away on Airdramon. And after the group returns to the real world, Izzy sends Tentomon to spy on Ken. Daisuke is happy now to be in possession of two Digi-Eggs, and Matt gives him a noogie, saying that he's officially part of the team now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I didn't hear any mention of the villain's sunglasses at all. I thought that those were really cool.
Ken's got some dope stunners.
Yeah, I mean, he the villain, not to jump ahead here, but like, you know, in terms of, I'm questioning whether or not to give the villain the number one spot for me.
Ooh.
You know? In terms of characters,
totally fair. If you've got a compelling villain, that's a big draw for a show.
You kind of have to have that. If your villain's a nothing, then who cares how cool your heroes are?
Exactly. Yeah, and they pull that off. I gotta say,
What a cool dude.
What a rad bad boy. Just coming into the Digiverse to fuck shit up. You know, just cause trouble.
I love that he's full of himself, and he has good reason to be. He's like a fucking wunderkind in everything he tries. So he's like, I mean, if I'm the best, why can't I rule everything?
Yeah,
but what?
Except he's horribly abusive to his Wormmon, which is which is the thing that I don't like about him.
And
it made me cry in previous episodes, actually.
Maybe friendship powers Digivolution, and he keeps going, fuck you for even suggesting that.
It's awful.
Oh my god.
It's really awful.
No,
I'm really glad we didn't have a guest for that one, because I would hate for someone's first exposure to Digimon be Ken, like, abusing the shit out of Wormmon for 30 minutes.
With a whip, yeah.
I would kind of, I would have loved to be. Sorry. Yeah, that's just very funny to me. Making your character just an abusive asshole is always a straightforward path to make. Giving them a cute little thing with big eyes that they just beat up. It's so on the nose. It's so great.
It's kind of like Rick and Morty before Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, oh god, I don't know the characters' names.
Now I had to voice Ken as Rick for the rest of the show.
Put the spiral on your arm. Morty, you gotta put this, I promise. Wormy, you gotta put the spiral on your tail, Wormy.
You gotta put it on for at least 10 minutes, no longer than 15. Or I'll have to shoot what you become.
Sorry.
I think now is a good time for us to rate this episode on a scale of rookie to mega.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with mega on this one.
Really? Okay.
It's once again like a big okay, maybe the pivotal emotional point confused the shit out of me, because it's just Daisuke going, I suck ass. Give me powers. but the rest of, particularly if I have to give, like, a moment that brings it up to Mega, it's Tai crying openly over getting Agumon back, mm-hmm. and Agumon being like, hey, what's the big deal? It's okay, I'm here now.
Another great...
And Tai just being like, you don't understand, I thought I lost you. Like, that really, really got me. I was pretty, like, close to crying myself.
Yeah.
So what about you, Audrey?
I'm going to give this an ultimate because the fight scenes were good. Getting another egg is very cool. I like the idea that you can have, because it seems like in the first season, each character was like elemental to their crest. And in this case, you have characters who are not like... Daisuke is not elemental to friendship initially. He's elemental to courage and then gets friendship as well. So you can have that sort of like crossing over of the qualities, which I think could lead to some really cool shit.
It does. I'm sure tell it you does. Right now, we have like cross, like egg transference for other Digivolutions for other people.
That rips. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so... But the emotional beats were a little confusing, and I just don't think that this episode stacks up to, like, the last three that we had that were all mega, so in
we
order to...
found out if Woodmon suffocated or not.
Yeah, I think Woodmon's dead as fuck. He's dead. Back in Primary Village, yeah. But, yeah, I have to give it an ultimate because I don't think it was quite as good as the previous three episodes that we just had.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna give it... an ultimate as well, because I loved it. It was surprisingly good, you know. But I can see that there's potential here, and I feel like this isn't like if you look back on the show, you're not going to remember this episode specifically. You're just going to, oh yeah, that was a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The lead ups are so strong. I could imagine forgetting this was the climax to that arc.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can see like how many episodes per season are there? You know,
like 50 like plus.
Yeah. You're like within 50. They have potential with this show. I could see it. I could see like a 10 out of 10 banger. You know what I mean? Coming out of this.
Yeah.
Coming out of the season, at least. Yeah. No, I'm going to say that my favorite moments were definitely the lifting of the Thor's hammer. Whatever that was, I don't even know what it did.
Everyone trying to pick up Mjolnir egg.
Yeah, it's great because it riffs on something that you've seen before. You know, I'm not sure if it was like a popular trope in the early 2000s. You know,
I mean it has legs in Japanese folklore as well as Norse mythology.
Yeah, so and Arthurian.
And Arthurian. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're pulling from a lot of stuff that was in the zeitgeist already.
Yeah, it was a great moment. I mean, just the music, you know, the demonstration of every single character was really nice, getting to see every single person. I don't know. Like I'm very boring with my media analysis. I'm sorry, but like I always look at it from a construction standpoint. How many elements can you get into a moment at once? And that was right there. Every audience member's locked in, you know? So really well done. You know, good writing, good voice acting, too. I loved it when the villain insulted. What did he call them? Oh, my God. I wish I could remember. He just says, like, enough with your stupid fucking bickering. He's like, I've had it.
He's like... That's what your friendship amounts to? All right, I'm done. Yeah, this is stupid.
And that's cold. That's a cold insult, you know? I love that. And so that's why I'm also giving him my favorite character spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a little preview for the digital.
Mm-hmm.
You want to? Yeah, okay. So you can edit that in right before he says that. You can edit in the Digimon or the Champions drop.
Okay.
So for me... My digital champion has got to be Tentomon.
For doing MGS missions?
For doing Metal Gear Solid missions and for enabling this whole thing. Because if Tentomon wasn't there, I'm always big on this. I was a big Piccolo defender back in the day because I was like, without Piccolo, you don't beat Cell because Piccolo taught Gohan everything that he knew.
By throwing him into the wilderness.
By throwing him into the wilderness and being a horrible surrogate father.
Having him, having him befriend and then kill a dinosaur.
Right. So I'm a big fan of the enablers, and so Tentomon going and grabbing Garurumon is my digital champion.
Fair enough. Bart, you already mentioned yours.
Yeah, I'm going with the villain. I forget his name.
Ken Ichijoji.
Ichijoji Ken.
Mainly for just that one line. I love that the writers lampshaded the fact that like all the characters are just bickering with each other.
Yeah, he's just like, wow, y'all are falling apart. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
easy for me, I guess.
Yeah, that line clinched it for me.
It's so good. I'm gonna stick to my guns. I gotta give this to Garurumon because he doesn't get the killing blow, but he is absolutely like the enabler that lets them turn the tides in combat. Because they were about to get Patamon, and this is a thing you might not know because this is a season one thing. Patamon explicitly has the strongest Digivolutions. He turns into Angemon, which is as strong as an ultimate as a champion. And from there, he can become Seraphimon, which can just end the world.
Oh my god, Dark Seraphimon Phoenix. Yeah. That's insane. You know, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I prefer the lower stakes, you know what I mean? In my digital monster shows. You know?
Yeah.
Or monster
shows.
That's
a good thing they didn't get the ring on him.
Yeah. Because as soon as you start introducing, like, the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, it starts to become a little unwieldy in my mind, where I can't conceptualize this thing as a digital monster anymore. It's now a god, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
No one's favorite arc is Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. It does start to, and, like, you notice this, especially, like, in season one, it starts out as, like, we're introducing all the new characters, so they have to go through, and this happens in season two as well, where you introduce all the Digivolutions, right? So you meet everybody on the first episode, and then you go through each episode of each of them gets a new Digivolution.
You learn the power limits of
rookies. Yeah.
You eventually get a champion in the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like things kind of move up gradually, but I'm sorry, Audrey, I interrupted. Go.
And then eventually, you're digivolving to Mega every episode to fight, you know, some insane threat that's going to destroy the world, and it does.
Right.
Yeah, unwieldy is a good word for it.
Yeah, the serial escalation tips past the point where, like, you can reasonably care about the stakes, because every fight is the world ends if we don't win.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the world ends if we don't look at some fan art.
Oh shit.
Yay!
Oh shit, I can't wait.
Pussy 2.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to edit pussy in two. You'll have to edit in the pussy 2.
Pussy 2 2 2 2 2.
All right. So I have two things. I believe they're from the same artist. Let me just double check that. Yes, Iudicium 86.
Okay. Who do you want to describe
go ahead
first?
And link these.
I'm ready.
In the Discord. Bart, if you'd be so kind as to describe this first
one. Oh god.
For us.
See, I was worried you're gonna make me. Oh god. Okay. well, we've got two otters. not literally otters. I call them otters because that's their build.
Right. Yeah, they're tall, sleek.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know the Digimons, but they're blue. They look like
Limon and Flamedramon.
Limon and Flamedramon. The anatomy is really, really well done on the arms, I have to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, the arms leading into the pecs is like very well realized.
Yeah, and the nipple placement is interesting. but they both have, the most important thing is they both have their cocks. Well, they're not out. They're...
No tip.
They're teasing you. They're just showing the shaft, which is enough for me. I think the shaft is where it's at, you know?
The thing is, when we look at the lesbian or hetero Digimon art, it's usually crazy explicit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we get to the gay stuff, and it's just really tasteful.
Yeah, it is very tasteful. There's no... they're completely flat down there, no pubic hair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of that. I like a little bush, you know, on my art.
Right.
You know. But I don't know.
You need cushion.
But the Then the legs. I'm not a fan of the legs, personally.
Oh, yeah, they skip leg day for sure.
Yeah.
Raidramon's knees are not
There's something weird going on there.
There's a weird foreshortening happening.
Yeah, but they're on the beach. I don't know if I mentioned that. And they're wearing G-strings, which is what they're pulling down. One black and one red to match their masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, this is pretty good, you know?
It's pretty good.
Minus the leg. I'm sorry.
Just spent a lot of time in the pecs and the arms and then got lazy on the legs.
Yeah, you can't skip leg day, even as an artist.
It looks like the artist worked on their legs a little bit in between that one and this one. Audrey, will you describe our second and
I would
final
love
image
to.
Of the segment?
I would love to.
This one's a little more extreme. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Holy fuck.
Okay. So what we have here, pressed up against a brick wall, we sort of have like an up perspective, like we're, you know, down on the ground.
like an upskirt, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing like an upskirt, but there is no skirt to be seen because...
there's only balls.
Because there's only balls. Lydramon is up against the wall... and Flamedramon is pulling his G-string down again. It's almost like they, like, went from the beach to here.
This is weird. Yeah, there isn't that many brick buildings by the beach, you know what I mean?
Not typically. But,
unless they're just going from, like, photo set to photo set.
Yeah. Flamedramon is, gripping and milking Lymon's cock. There's cum dripping out of Lymon's cock, for sure. His balls are very pronounced. And, oh, yeah, yeah, he's been filled up, for sure, by Flamedramon. And
presumably.
Written all over, presumably. I mean, it could have been somebody else, too. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it says free on him.
It does say free and cum dump and slut and animal in heat and bite me and abuse and whore.
Okay. Not a fan of abuse being written on there.
No, that's no good. We don't like that. Yeah,
but those are bite marks. I thought that those were air.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I was going to say that those...
they look like the Trinity symbols from Kingdom Hearts 1.
These are some very odd places to bite, I got to be honest, personally.
Yeah, back of the thigh, you know.
Yeah.
Butt cheek makes sense.
Butt cheek
I like to bite
sense.
A butt.
Claw marks on his back.
Up on his shoulder is a little too close to the armpit. I feel like that would have tickled.
Yeah, that's a little weird. That's a sensitive area too, you know?
I've been bit there. It is not fun. Yeah. It's ticklish.
So this one's pretty great. I do enjoy this one as well. Very well-rendered pinor.
Not enough shaft on the pinor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly...
Mostly head.
Kind of.
Yeah. And we know Bart's here for the shaft.
Exactly.
See, so. Audrey and I, obviously, are kind of focused on women for the most part. And so it's genuinely very interesting to bring in someone who has a perspective on masculine porn.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Because I just got nothing to add. I'm just like... That's very well rendered.
I gotta be honest.
they really improved on their legs in the next one.
I just don't look at porn all that much, you know. I mean, it's not
fair.
It's not like I'm like a prude, you know. but you know, like stuff like this, it doesn't really get me going.
Doesn't come across your desk very often.
Yeah,
but you know,
fair.
I respect the anatomy. You know what I mean? I could see somebody. Like respectably jacking off to this, you know?
Yeah. This segment is absolutely meant to be like an anthropological study.
Right. Yeah. I think like if I were to analyze like how the person has drawn it and what it makes me think of the artist, like I'm not that creeped out is what I would say, which is my barometer for pornography.
Oh boy.
Are the creators of
there's
this
been a lot more dire stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are the creators of this depraved or not?
Okay. Digimon created a lot of different kinds of monsters, apparently.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, yeah.
Man, I can't wait for Renamon. That's gonna be a good season.
We're just never gonna run out. I'm just gonna do Renamon every
episode. We'll just do Renamon every episode and we'll have an infinite amount of it.
The only thing, the one thing I would say is the penises are a little too big, IMO. You know?
A bit. Yeah.
They're just slightly too big. And I would have preferred, like, it seems a little porn-brained, to be honest, you know?
Sure. Yep.
Where, like a different size cock on one of them and a different size cock on the other would have been like...
Sure, yeah, they're almost identical.
They're both a little unreasonably large.
Yeah, I mean...
And, like, identical.
Yeah, and, like, when you're jerking off somebody from the back here, I'm not sure you're going to see that much of the cock unless they have just a...
No.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no magnum dong.
But no, I'm not... This person... You know, I would be fine shaking hands with this person, you know?
Wouldn't even ask them to wash their hands first.
Yeah, I would, yes, but, yeah. If they said I already did, I would believe them.
Sure. So there is a reason that we usually do Digital Champion after. that's funny. That'll be just for us. There is a reason why... we usually do Digital Champion after the porn segment, because now I have to ask you to plug your stuff.
Oh, fuck.
Immediately. I forgot that there was a cushion there for a reason.
That's great. No. No, that filters out all the people who aren't cool with Digimon porn. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
They are long gone. This is every episode.
Yeah, they are no longer with us.
Well, I already spoiled what I was going to... I'm doing a CS188 collab. Which is coming out. You can check me out on YouTube and Twitch. I'm going to start streaming again pretty soon. And then specific things, I'm starting a charity. It's a nonprofit that's already started called Lou's House, where we are going to be giving temporary housing to trans people leaving red states and hostile situations. Give them shelter here in California. And help them find permanent housing. Last thing is my Patreon, patreon.com/tallbart, if you just want to support the whole thing, you know.
Go check it out, especially that charity. That's incredibly good work that you're doing, and I'm really excited for that.
That is loushouse.org, LOUSHOUSE.
Okay. I hope you don't mind if I link that for the next few episodes, because that seems really fucking important to me.
Okay. Yeah. I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Okay. I have a plug for my other show. It's called, I almost said it was Data Transfer because I do this plug in reverse transfer on the other one.
Cole's on it. She's cool.
It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. Our guest this past week was the very tall Bart. So we thank you for joining us on this as well. You know, just a real fun, raucous time where we have a good heart and are dumb as hell. Mm-hmm. So you can check that out at rftb.me, anywhere you find your podcasts, Radio Free Tote Bag.
And I've got one other podcast going on. It's called Post Ponies. It's a retrospective of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and the Rise of American Fascism. Me, three other trans gals, and it's about on the level with this one. You know, if you like this energy, there's a lot more of it there. We also have a website. We're at smallgayhorse.com.
We love it.
I have it open right now.
Oh, fuck yes.
I'm gonna check it out.
I have one other plug, which is just simply my favorite line from one of your YouTube poops, which is it's just Jordan Peterson saying, in fact, disintegrate.
Oh my god, somebody liked that joke. That took so long to make. That took so
permanently long. Altered my vocabulary. Like, I say that when I leave Discord calls now.
Disintegrate. Oh my god, I love that. Well, thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you for coming by.
Thanks so much. It's been a delight having you.
I'm sorry for, you know, constantly interrupting and stuff. I'm still working on my podcast voice, you know.
You good.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's a casual show here.
You know who else is good? The listener, who we thank for joining us. Oh. And I think it's important that you get out there and buy the products.
Capitalism is good.
We love capitalism.
Get out there and consume, Morty. You gotta consume, Morty. Consume. You gotta keep the economy running. You gotta put this spiral on your arm, Morty. It's gonna turn you into a giant mech.